Would you stand with me this morning as we read in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 18? I'd like to invite you to go back with me for a few minutes this morning to Bethlehem and to the story of the shepherds and the angels. There's so many things about this story that's beautiful and amazing. And this morning especially, I want to focus on the source of our joy and the importance of joy in our lives. Luke chapter 2, it follows right behind the birth story of Jesus, and it is an truly amazing and incredible story in itself. Luke chapter 2, reading verses 8 through 18. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. Thank you. You may be seated. This beautiful story, the Christmas story, takes place outside of the town of Bethlehem. In Jesus' day, Bethlehem was not a large city. It was kind of a small town, but a very important one. It was located not very far from Jerusalem. In fact, Jerusalem and Bethlehem are right beside each other. They're about 6 miles apart. And from many parts of Jerusalem, you can look out to the east and to the south, and you can see the city of Bethlehem rising over the hills of Jerusalem. Bethlehem was an important town in Jesus' day because of its history. It was called the town of David. A long time before then, Boaz and Ruth had found romance there and begun a family line that led 4 generations later to the birth of a boy, a baby named David. And he had grown up to become the king of all of Israel. And so Bethlehem was a very important place. And over the years, it was called the town of David. Those fields that go around the town of Bethlehem can look down into the city. And I had an opportunity last October with my father when Debbie and I and Dad were in Israel. Dad and I took a day trip to Bethlehem and had the opportunity to go into that town that's now a city. And it really looks probably a lot like it did back then in that it's not a new modern city with skyscrapers at all. The houses are 1 or 2 stories high for the most part, and it's a very picturesque place. It was a great privilege and opportunity to be there. But as we drove around Bethlehem and down into the city and up out of the city and around, you could look and see hillsides all around the outside of Bethlehem. And it was very easy to picture and imagine what it must have been like for people to travel from Jerusalem and all the other towns around them and travel to that place of Bethlehem on that night, that time that Mary and Joseph made their journey into Bethlehem, where it is celebrated, a special place. There are really 2 places that you can go to and visit in Bethlehem that, at least for me, were very special. One, of course, is the Church of the Nativity and where it's celebrated that Jesus was born in that cave down underneath the ground. The other place is what's called the Shepherd's Field, and that's a place that it is remembered and celebrated that the angels came to the shepherds in this beautiful story. The Shepherd's Field is among one of many fields where they're just kind of rolling hills and rocks, and you see a lot of animals around Bethlehem today, and you can see it probably a lot like it probably was 2,000 years ago. Verse 1 says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby." We're reminded in the story that the shepherds didn't just go out at nighttime. The shepherds in the story recorded lived out in the fields. They lived in the fields and in the caves that were underneath the ground. All around Bethlehem, you see holes in the sides of the mountains and the sides of the hills, and you know that they're caves, and people keep their animals there, and sometimes people live there. So it's very easy to see that. And God chose these shepherds. He chose these shepherds who lived outside. They were not in town a lot of the time. He chose what might have been thought as people that he wouldn't have chosen to be the first ones to receive the message of the birth of Jesus. God chose the shepherds. We may wonder why the shepherds. They kind of seem to be an unlikely group of people, an unlikely group of candidates to be used of God to be able to announce to humankind for the first time that the angel would come and speak to them. God came to them. The shepherds were kind of a mostly outside people, away from the town, in the dark and the cold of the night. They were consistent. Their lives probably were not that exciting. They were watching and waiting most of the time, and suddenly God chose to step into human history and choose these shepherds to receive this great picture and this great message. From the shepherd's field outside of Bethlehem that I had the opportunity to visit, you can actually look down into the town of Bethlehem, and it's very picturesque to see and see what the shepherds must have seen. They probably watched many people stream into Bethlehem during that day, probably for a few days, people coming to pay their taxes, just like Mary and Joseph, and they just observed and they watched all this that was going on. Verse 9 says, then that the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them just about as suddenly as possible. In the middle of an average night where they watch all these people come into Bethlehem, God steps into history and he sends his angel with this great message around them. Imagine what it must have been like for the glory of God to suddenly come around these shepherds. Deb and I were talking this past week after last Sunday when it had snowed and then it melted a little bit and then it refroze. We were out a little bit and several places where we went around a corner and we looked up into a field and the sun was shining off the snow and it was so bright. It's like you had to hit the brakes on the car. It was so bright. You know what I mean? Sometimes you come toward the sun or the reflection of the ice and the snow and you can't even hardly see and it almost stops you in the tracks. But imagine the glory and the presence of God suddenly coming to the earth and what those shepherds must have seen and felt and wondered. It's just an amazing picture to imagine what the glory of the Lord must have been to those shepherds. They were so amazed. There was darkness. I mean, they didn't have lights like we do today. And in the middle of the darkness, in the quiet, suddenly there's an unbelievable light. There's an unbelievable glory. There's an unbelievable presence that they had never seen. They didn't understand a brilliance, a radiance that must have been so bright that they fell to the ground. The glory of the Lord shone around them. I thought, wouldn't that be neat for the glory of the Lord to come and shine around us? There will be a day, the Bible says, when we'll see the glory of God, we'll understand the brightness of the glory of God, somehow a physical understanding, but more so a spiritual understanding of the very presence of God. But God was pleased to allow these shepherds to enjoy that for a time. It says the glory of the Lord shone around them. And of course their reaction, I'm sure would be our reaction too. They've never seen such a thing. They've never seen such a brightness. They've never seen such a glory and they were afraid. Actually, it says in this verse that they were terrified. I do like the King James Version. In the King James Version, it says they were sore afraid. They were so afraid that they fell down as dead men. They didn't know what to make of. They'd never seen such a thing before. But even something that seemed so fearful to them was something that would bring them such great joy. The words of the angel then became a great message received in the hearts of these shepherds. They were unlikely to receive it. It was an amazing picture, an amazing message, and it changed their lives. The words of the angel became a message to them that changed them forever. They were receiving a message from God, and those hills around Bethlehem would never be the same. You actually think of Bethlehem today and being in the West Bank and all the political things going on between the Israelis and the Palestinians. It's a really strange thing to be in that environment and sense all the tensions that are going on. But Bethlehem has never been the same. From The earliest record in church history, Bethlehem, has been celebrated. These two places, the Church of the Nativity and the place of the visitation of the angels to the shepherds. It is an amazing place to stand and think about and remember what happened there and how beautiful it was. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And then the angel came to them. They were sore afraid, and the angel knew that. And I notice that the first thing that the angel says to them is, you don't need to be afraid. Really, that's something that God wants to say to us. We don't need to be afraid. God wants to help us. God wants to bless us. God wants to meet needs in our lives. We don't have to be afraid. God wanted to connect to these shepherds. And so the angel came, and the first words are, you don't need to be afraid. The angel said, not only do you not need to be afraid, but God wants to give you something very special. God wants to change you. God wants to give you a beautiful gift. He says, he calls it the good news for the shepherds. First, 2,000 years ago, God gave them the good news, but he also gives it to us this morning. We come together to remember a birthday. I talked about in Kids Corner, we kind of come together because there's a party. There should be a party for someone today, and we celebrate the birthday of Jesus. But I want to say to you, coming to church on Christmas Sunday is not just about a casual opportunity to remember a beautiful story. It's a time to come before a holy, glorious God and say, God, what do you want to say in my heart and my life? Like you said to the shepherds so long ago, I believe that God has some glory that he wants to give to you and I, a presence, a connectedness, a sense that God has something to say to you and to say to me today. The story, as beautiful as it is, like every scripture in the Bible, I believe God did have something to say in the past in those stories, in every word of scripture. But I also want to say today that God has something to say about his glory today to you and the reality of who he is and the finality of his plan and the authority of the creation, who he is, a great and a mighty and an awesome God. He's worthy to be praised in all his glory. At Christmas time, I don't want to take him for granted. I don't want to seem like it's not a big deal. It's not a big birthday party. It is a great opportunity to worship a mighty and an awesome God. We have come together today on Christmas Sunday to worship a glorious God, an amazing God who has a beautiful picture and a beautiful love for us. God reached out to us in the birth of Jesus. He reaches out to us today and says, I love you. I want to be a part of your life. I want to help you. I want you to be connected to me. God wants to connect to our hearts. It lifted those shepherds up out of Bethlehem and out of that hillside and into a relationship and a story. I've often wondered what happened to the shepherds after this. I would like to know. Someday we may find out about this. But what we do know today is the Christmas story does take us to another place. The truth of the Christmas story gives us another opportunity. It gives us another opportunity to say, God, what do you want to do in my life? What do you want to change inside of me by your glory, by your power, by the wonder of who you are? The Christmas story takes us to another place, to a place of wonder, to a place of seeing God differently, to a place of understanding the plan of God and the good news of God. I noticed that the message of the angel was very personal, and the message of the angel to the shepherds, I should say, was very personal. He says, I bring you just a few shepherds. I don't know how many there were on that hillside, but the angel say to him, I bring you, but yet it will be for all the people. He says that he's been born to you, but yet it's for all the people. The truth is what the angel said to the shepherds 2,000 years ago is the same message that God has for you. God has sent a Savior to you. The same thing promised to the shepherds is promised to you and I. God gives us the good news. He gives us the great joy of great joy. You know how important joy is to the life of someone who believes in God? You know how important joy is in your life as a believer, as a Christian, as someone who wants to follow the hand and the voice of God? Joy is so important in your life, and that's what this good news is. Good news of great joy. God promises to us joy. And here it is, a great gift. But it's for every believer. It's the same for us today. We kind of think of joy as being something we talk about at Christmas. And we do love joy at Christmas time. There is something about Christmas that just brings up those feelings of joy. But God wants you to have joy all the time. God wants you to have joy every day of your life. Joy is not the same thing as happiness. It's not rooted in your circumstances. Joy is rooted in who God is, in your faith and your trust of God. I can truly say that no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your problems are, no matter what your challenges are, you can still always have the joy of the Lord in your heart and your spirit. God wants you to have joy. That's one of the great gifts of Christmas is joy. It's one of the great gifts of the Christmas story is that God brings you and wants you to have joy all the time. Every believing heart. There is a joy that only God can give you in your life. There is a deep satisfaction in your heart and your spirit that only God can give you through the Lord Jesus Christ. There are circumstances that bless us and we like and we love, but I want you to know today that there's something that only God can give you through Jesus. And that's a joy in your spirit, deep down on the inside. It's a joy that only God can give. And it's also a joy that the world cannot take away. No matter what your circumstances are, if your heart's right with God, if you're right with God, God can give you a deep, settled spirit, a deep, settled peace, a deep, settled joy that's a fountain inside of you that no matter what happens in your life, your faith and your spirit can be connected to the heart of God. A joyful spirit is a part of the gift that God gives us. Joy comes from believing and trusting God and taking Him at His word and really believing and living it out. Joy is a fountain within the heart of a Christian that bubbles out in faith. God wants your joy to be stronger. He wants your joy to be pure. I think of all the things that the Bible says about the importance of joy. One thing is in Galatians chapter 5, we're reminded that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It comes through the Holy Spirit. It comes from being connected in relationship to God. Galatians chapter 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. You notice the second fruit that is mentioned in the book of Galatians is the importance of joy. We think of joy, especially at Christmas time, but joy is the description of a heart of a faith, of a heart that loves God and desires to live for God. It's evidence of a living relationship with Jesus. If you have joy in your heart, it's evidence that you're in a right relationship with God. And if you don't have joy in your life, if you really have to look at your life and say, I don't have joy, then you're missing a relationship with God through Jesus. Joy is the evidence of a life that understands God's grace and God's authority. And says, God, I accept you. I accept what you want for my life. Joy is a gift of God. It is to be nourished and cherished and to be praised. God's to be praised all the time. And when you do, it just fills. It's like a fountain that fills up. When your heart's right with God and you're thankful and you're responsive to His grace, it's like God just keeps putting the joy in. No matter what in life may take it out, God keeps putting it in when your heart is right with Him. A joyless Christian, to me, is one of the most, it scares me to death. It's one of the most painful things to see in the body of Christ. Someone that believes they're a Christian, but they have no joy because they're not connected to the reality of who Jesus is. Do you have the joy, joy, joy down in your heart this morning? I think of this song that we sing as kids. I don't know if all of you know that, but I have a joy, joy, joy down in my heart. It's a joy that nothing can take away. There's a fountain down there that comes from the power of the grace of God. If you don't have that this morning, pray that God would speak to your heart and help you to have joy again. Maybe you need to reach out to Him. Maybe you need to reach out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I have lost the joy of a relationship with you. I want you to know today that God wants you to have joy. It's so important to Him. We can choose to focus on the things of God. You can choose to have a joyful spirit when you choose to make your priorities right with God. When your heart is right with God, your life will have joy in it. Today I choose joy. Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. God wants us to have a life of rejoicing in Him. There was a lot of joy, a lot of rejoicing on that hillside in Bethlehem. And on Christmas Sunday, it's an opportunity for us to be reminded again of the importance of joy. There needs to be a lot of joy on your hillside too. I don't know where you live, but wherever you live, on your hillside or on your flat ground, in your family of five or your family of one, if you work all day or you're retired, whether you're married or you're single, I want to say to you today that on your hillside you need to have the joy of the Lord. And only God can give that. No matter where you live and who you are, God can give you joy when you seek Him with all your heart. Verse 13 says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, it's amazing how the picture of joy just spreads out in this beautiful story. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about thousands upon thousands in joyful assembly. The psalmist wrote, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. And then also finally, Paul in Romans chapter 14 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, what it's about is not a list of do's and don'ts. What it's about with God is not whether you cross every T and dot every I in your life. It's about relationship with Him. When your heart's right with Him, everything else will come in line. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. May you have joy in your life. May we somehow find the joy that the shepherds had and God brought to them. We're going to close our service and sing hymn number 173, Joy to the World. We're going to sing the first verse a cappella, and then I'm going to ask Debbie if you'd begin to play. The first verse is going to be on the screen, and then turn to number 173. I'd like us to kind of sing quietly. Would you stand with me that first verse this morning and sing to me, Joy to the World, the Lord is come.